Well, it's great to be able to be here at Southwestern Seminary. Thank you, Dr. Patterson. In fact, I do remember as a young child hanging out with my dad and hanging out with Dr. Patterson. I am now 51 years old, so I just want to make sure that all of you are aware exactly how old Dr. Patterson really is. But it is great to be able to be with you here today. I was supposed to be here in September, but I ended up having to change that schedule because I was actually caught in Hurricane Irma over in St. Martin and ended up spending 5 days in a bunker in a shelter over there and got out of that shelter and finally got off the island the day before I was supposed to be here. And as I told Dr. Patterson, I was far more interested in going home and hanging out with my kids after being in that bunker for 4 days, 5 days, than coming here and hanging out with all of you, as much as I love Southwestern Seminary. So thank you for allowing me to come back and be with you today. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me today to the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 10. And today what I want to talk about is something that's very relevant and very important in our culture today. I think all of us are fully aware and fully understand, as we have seen over these last few months, how people, icons really, in so many different fields and so many different areas of leadership in our country, whether it be in entertainment or whether it be in politics or, as we often see, unfortunately, whether it be in ministry, that we've seen great leaders and great icons whose careers have been completely destroyed. We've seen families begin to crumble. We've seen marriages be ripped apart. And we have seen lives come to an end as a result of a lack of character in men and women around our country today. And I just thought it's a timely opportunity for us and for those of you who are here studying, training to one day lead in our churches and lead in ministry, not only here in the United States, but perhaps even around the world, that we have a conversation here today to talk a little bit about character and why character is so vitally important for what we go through every single day in ministry. Character really does matter. We've seen so many times, even in the last few days, as I was traveling down here yesterday, I heard on the news as I was walking through the airport in Charlotte, North Carolina, about Matt Lauer and Garrison Keillor, who are names that go back for generations, really, in the media, where they have been fired, they've lost their jobs, they've lost their careers. But far more important than that, they have lost their reputation because they have chosen a course, they have chosen actions that run counter to what morality is all about and run counter, certainly, to what God's word says about character and integrity. Now, let me just tell you why it's so important for us to talk about that today. I mean, obviously, when someone like those that we've seen in these past few months falls in a situation like that, obviously, it kind of ripples through society. We see newspaper articles. We see it in the television news. We see it on Twitter. We see all of these different things that take place. And certainly, it has impact around our culture. But know this, that every single one of them that today is going through that situation and having those issues and losing jobs, all those kinds of things, know this, the decisions for the lack of character in their life did not start now. It started long, long ago. In fact, it started for most of them, if not all of them, when they were sitting in places like you're sitting today, sitting in a college classroom, studying for what their careers might be one day, as they were dreaming big dreams about what they might end up doing, as they were talking about what they wanted to accomplish and what they wanted to do with their lives and how they wanted to use their talents and their abilities. It happened in choices that they were making right then. And so for you today, recognize this, is that your character now, your character today, will absolutely affect your character, your impact, your careers tomorrow. What you do today and the decision that you're making right now and how you're gonna live your life and how you're gonna walk with God and how you're gonna serve God in what you do right now, how you treat your walk with Christ, how you develop your relationship with Christ, the depth of your relationship with Christ, what you do today will absolutely affect your success in the future. And so today, I just want to talk a little bit about character. and why it's so vitally important that we grab a hold of this idea, this concept of making sure that we're instilling into our hearts and into our lives that desire to truly seek God in all that we do. And so in Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to read 4 verses today. We're going to look at a few others that are surrounding Proverbs chapter 10, but for our most of our conversation today, we're going to be in these 4 verses because it's a picture of why character truly is important. And so before I read this passage, I would like to just simply pray for God's direction and for God's guidance and for God's wisdom to be revealed to us today in our time together. Heavenly Father, I pray that right now as we open your word and as we hear directly from you, as we already have here today, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would open our ears and open our minds to what you would have us to see, what you would have us to hear, what you would have us to understand. God, I pray that there would be absolute change in our hearts. There's not a person gathered in this room today that doesn't desperately need to become closer to you. There's no one here today, whether professor or student, that has arrived in their relationship with Christ. We can all take that next step. We can all move closer. We can all do better in learning who you are and in learning your word. And so God, I pray that today that you would guide us, that you would speak to us. And that God, if there's somebody here today that is struggling with some of the things that we're gonna talk about, I pray that you would allow this time together today to be an impactful moment for them. God, that it would be a transformational moment for them, that what they would hear and what they would see in these moments, in this day, Lord, would be something that would not only affect them for this day, but would affect them for the rest of their lives, that it would affect their ministry, it would affect their impact in the days to come. And God, we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory for what we're going to see today from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Proverbs chapter 10, beginning with verse 6, it says, "Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall." And then listen to this last verse in verse 9. "He who walks with integrity walks securely," or safely, "but he who perverts his ways will become known." What a powerful passage as we look at and as we talk about what our society and what our culture is going through today. We've allowed ourselves to get to the place today of moral relativism in our nation and our world, where we will accept one thing as long as we get on the other side something that we like and something that is a benefit to us. That we will allow situations to take place even in our own lives and that we'll walk in certain paths and do certain things because we think that on the other side, what we're doing, we're doing good things and we're honoring God. We're sitting in a seminary, we're studying his word, but yet we will allow these things to slip into our lives and to begin to chip away at our character and chip away at our walk with God and our faith with God and our faith in God because we argue it away, we measure it away based on what we're doing good things here, so, well, we can allow some of this stuff over here. This passage very clearly tells us, oh, no, you can't get away with that. This passage tells us very clearly that you either have a choice of righteousness or, as verse 7 says, or you have the opportunity for rot. And I think what we're seeing today in so many different sectors of society, and make no mistake, obviously, the news is all about politicians and it's all about media executives and media personalities, but make no mistake, what we are seeing in the culture, what we're seeing in the politics today, what we're seeing in the media outlets today, I am telling you, we see it in the church too. There is no disconnect between what's happening in the seats and the pews and the stages and the pulpits of our churches than what's happening in our society. Why? Because we are all in desperate need of righteousness in our life. Not one of us here in this room today, regardless of who we are, you can walk around as I did this morning and look at all the photos and the names and the pictures that are out in this lobby outside of this great chapel today. See, great men and women of God, have used to do some incredible things. I walked down this hallway upstairs here. Dr. Patterson walked me down just a few moments ago, and I saw all these sermon notes from these great, incredible pastors that have lived through the years, some still with us, some in heaven, and saw their handwritten notes. And I remember back to the impact that many of these men made. But regardless of whether it's someone like a Billy Graham or an Adrian Rogers, or whether it's someone that we've never even heard of that's preaching in a church of 20 people somewhere today, regardless, all of us, every one of us in this room, as Jeremiah tells us, all of us have hearts that are desperately wicked. None of us have arrived. And so we've got choices to make. And the choices that we have to make is we have to decide that we are going to deliberately run towards righteousness and character. And it will impact your future opportunity in ministry. So today, let's just walk through this passage a little bit and talk about why character really does matter. And the first thing that we see from this passage, beginning with verse 6, is this, is character defines who we are. Is that when people see our character, it's not what house that we live in, it's not what car we drive, it's not what clothes that we wear, it's not what our background is or what country that we come from. When people see us, they evaluate us, they judge us based on our character, and it defines who we are. That's important, especially for those in ministry. Because when many of you, either now already today or one day will, walk up a stage like this one, and you'll make your way behind a pulpit in the churches of our country and our world, and you'll stand behind that pulpit, the people who are hearing you preach that day, they will determine who you are, not based on the words that you preach. They will base their determination of who you are on the life that they see you lead. They will decide who you are based on who you are as an individual, what character you have. It defines who we are. Look what it says in verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. I think of somebody like Dr. Adrian Rogers that I had the great privilege and opportunity of being around so many times, of hearing him not only preach, but also being in some of those rooms as you have, Dr. Patterson, backstage or sitting in restaurants and having meals and sitting around and hearing him talk and joke with other pastors and joke with other friends. And I've had the opportunity of sitting in those rooms. And the one thing that I know about someone like Dr. Adrian Rogers is this, is that what you saw in the pulpit is what you saw sitting in the back room. The character that he had was something that he didn't take with him onto the stage. He took it through every area and every aspect of his life. And that, my friends, is why even today we recognize Dr. Rogers as someone who guided this great convention to do incredible things for God. Of why he was able to make such a great impact in his church and around the world is because he was not a great preacher, even though he was. It was because he was a great man of godly character. And that's a lesson that all of us need to learn. It defines who we are. It demonstrates the depth of our relationship with Christ. When you look at that statement of verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, the next statement, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Violence, use that word, talk about it. What it mean? Destruction. It means conflict. It means argument. It means that we will never actually see peace. And I think all of us, if we're going to be pastors, if you're going to one day seek to lead in a church or maybe to be a missionary or be a worship pastor, student pastor, I mean, one word that I know as a pastor now I've been in ministry for 25, 26 years, I know this, what we desperately want to see in our ministry is one word, and that is peace. We talk about how this time of year, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Man, I'm telling you, every single day of the year, I want peace in my church. Because we as a society, we as a people, we are so caught up in conflict. Every Sunday morning when I stand up to preach, I look out in that room and I know that there are some people who are sitting right over here on my left-hand side in my sanctuary when I preach. And I know they sit over there every single Sunday. And the reason they sit over here is because there's some people who sit over here that they don't want to run into because of conflicts that they have going on in their lives. That they gossip about one another, they're angry with one another, they talk about one another, if they ran into each other, man, we'd have a fist fight in the lobby, a holy fist fight. We've seen those, they happen all the time. And I know it's like clockwork. Every Sunday morning, one group will walk in and they'll sit down over here and the other group will sit over there. I know, I could tell you their names today. I won't, but I could. And they do it every week. Why? Because there's conflict. Why? Because they're not walking lives of character. Character really does matter. We want peace. That statement, blessings come on the heads of the righteous and violence covers the mouth of the wicked. It demonstrates the depth of our relationship with Christ. There are people that I know in ministry that they often get up and they talk about how they want to reach their towns for Christ. They want to reach their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet they walk in a life that is not a life of character. And when I talk about the life of character, they're not out doing things that are against the law or against scripture. specifically with deep and horrific sins. But you know what they are doing? They're getting on their phones sometimes and they're going on things like Twitter and they're saying things on Twitter or retweeting things or they're attacking people on Twitter. They're getting involved in arguments about politics or some other element of society and they are chipping away at their character as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ because they're more concerned about what's happening in the Capitol than they are worried about what's happening in the house of God. That's a character issue and it does matter. We've got to make sure that it demonstrates the depth of our relationship. There's one pastor that I know, and he is a friend of mine. But many times in these last several election cycles, in the midst of all the things that were going on, and let's be honest, the last few election cycles have been quite a bit of whirlwind for us here in our country. And through that cycle of elections, they've gotten on Twitter and Facebook and they've been arguing and attacking different elements and different people and they've been going back and forth about, you know, Republican and Democrat and what's right and what's wrong and they're arguing and fighting with people and actually attacking people on Twitter. And one day I got to the place where I picked up the phone and called him and said, I'm just gonna ask you a question. How are you gonna reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ when they're seeing what you're doing on Twitter every single day? How in the world are you gonna walk up to them, put your arm around them and say, listen, God loves you? When you're sitting there not being a reflection of that kind of love. Character matters, people. And it's time that we, especially now with young people gathered in this room who will be the leaders of our churches one day, who will be the leaders of our seminaries one day, who will be our missionaries one day, it is vital for you to recognize that how you act now will absolutely determine what happens later. And how we will be successful in ministry, it determines and demonstrates the depth of your relationship. But going to verse 7, there's something else it does for us. It guarantees our future. Look at verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. That one verse right there is a picture of what we're seeing in our society today. Because of men and women who are not walking in righteousness, what we're seeing, that word rot is applying to careers, it's applying to reputations, it's applying to personalities today because of decisions that they have made to not walk in righteousness, to not walk in what's right and stay away from what's wrong. And what's happening now is we're gonna remember them of all their careers, of generations, decades and decades and decades of doing good, good things. And now we will remember them for one thing alone. And I can tell you today, there are pastors, and Dr. Patterson knows far more than I do, who may have been in ministry for 30, 40, 50 years and have done incredible things in ministry, but today they're remembered for one bad decision. A life of character is not something that you decide now and then you just walk on. It's something you decide every single morning when you wake up. Every day when you get out of bed, you have to decide that I'm going to walk in a life of character. I'm gonna walk in integrity. I'm gonna do everything that I possibly can to run after God today, to be an example of a picture of running after God today. It is not a one-time decision. It is an everyday decision. But the beautiful thing is this, it guarantees our future. If we decide to walk in righteousness, it says it here, that the memory of our own names will be remembered in a very special and a very dear in an incredible way. Why? Because we chose to do the right thing. And it's not only for our lifetime. If you go over to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, it says this, is that the godly walk in integrity. I love this passage, having four kids, and it says this, and our children are blessed after us. And it means this, is that what we do today will actually affect what our children will see one day. I've got four kids. A 21-year-old that's getting married in about 6 weeks. I've got a daughter, Jessica, who's 20, who's in college, an elementary education major. I've got twins that are seniors in high school. Man, I love them with all my heart. I would do anything in the world for them, and they know it. They know that there's nothing that they could ask for. There's nothing that they could need from me that I wouldn't show up. I would do whatever that I possibly could in my power and ability to do for them because I love them so much. And many times as the children are younger, when I say something like that, then in their response, it's like, well, if I wanted a toy, my dad would get it for me. Absolutely. That if I wanted to go to a certain restaurant, there have been many times as a dad, and some of you dads know what I'm talking about, where I've gone home from work and they've called me and say, hey, would you pick up dinner? And the answer is always, absolutely, I'd be happy to. And I end up having to go to 3 different restaurants on the way home because none of them can agree what they all want. And rather than make some of them suffer, man, I'll go through 3 different drive-thrus. I'll go to 3 different places to pick up food to make them all happy. I will do anything for my kids, but listen to me. the decision that I make to walk in character and integrity and righteousness, that is something I'm not only doing for myself and my ministry, I'm doing that for my children. Because the passage of scripture very clearly tells us here, Proverbs 20, yes, that when I walk in integrity, it will bless my kids. Now, some of you are sitting here saying, I don't have any kids. Well, let me just tell you, the life that you live right now, the decision that you make right now, the character that you have right now, it will affect, if you ever do have kids, it will affect them even today before they're ever born. You know, there's a flip side in the scripture that also tells us this, that when we decide not to walk in righteousness, when we decide to walk in sin, when we decide to go the wrong direction and do the wrong things, it says this, that our children will also be affected. And it says to even the second and the third generation. So make no mistake about it, the way that you live your life now, the character that you have, the integrity that you have, it will determine not only the course of your ministry, it will determine the course of your family for generations. Now that's a pretty heavy burden, isn't it? That's a pretty heavy weight to carry on our shoulders, to recognize that when we walk and the decisions that we make today, even in college or even in seminary, what we do today will determine the success, the relationships, the abilities that my kids will have generations from. It absolutely does, not according to this preacher's word, according to God's word. We've got to do the right thing. We live in a culture today where, you know, we've decided that because of the New Testament, because of Christ, because of what he did on the cross, because his resurrection, that we've been given incredible freedom and incredible liberty, and we can do whatever we want to because it's covered in the blood of Christ. And I see, and I've got to be honest with you now, I'm just going to come clean with you, be honest with you, but here, I'm the kind of guy, I don't see any good whatsoever in alcohol. I've never seen anything good from drinking alcohol in my entire life. I've never seen a family blessed because of alcohol. I've never seen a church blessed because of alcohol. I've seen lots of families that are destroyed by it. I've seen lots of marriages that have fallen apart because of it. I've preached funerals of people who've lost their lives because of it. But I've never seen anything good from alcohol. But yet we live in a society today where it's like, well, the Bible's not really clear. You know, I mean, we could, you know, you could take this and you know, you could discuss this. And what about, you know, in moderation? Let me just tell you something. When it comes to character, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. What you do today in moderation, your children will take it one step or more further. The other day, I was listening to a television interview of a young lady. She was 19 years old. And she was a lady who had gone through lots of different situations. She'd been caught up in drugs and alcohol and been to jail. She had several children, not married. And they were asking her the question, how did you get started? Because of the opioid epidemic that we have in our country today, they were asking the question, how did you get started? What got you to this place? And she said something that rang a bell when I heard it because I knew it's true. And I was just thrilled to be able to actually have an example that someone was willing and brave enough to say it. And she said, you know, I picked up my very first marijuana cigarette because when I was growing up, every day I watched my mom and dad drink alcohol. And I thought, well, it can't be that bad. The mom and dad would drink wine with dinner. Not a big deal. The mom and dad would have an occasional drink. It's moderation. It's not a big deal. And what ended up happening is what they did in moderation, their daughter took further and further and further. And what started with a glass of wine ended up being with a woman who got caught up and addicted to heroin and cocaine and almost lost her life as a result. So yes, the decisions we make today matter. And I know there are places today that I could say that, even Dr. Patterson, in some churches today that I could make that statement. And people would criticize me for making that statement. But I'm just gonna tell you something. I have never once in my life met a person that has been blessed because they drank alcohol, but whole life seen so many that have been destroyed by it. Man, determine today. Walk a life of integrity. Walk a life of character. It guarantees our future. The next thing that it does here, recognize this, it protects us. It protects us in verse 7 and 8. It goes on to say, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. The wise in heart will receive commands. What does that mean? That means this, is that as we walk through life, when we are running after God and grabbing a hold of his word and spending time looking for God and seeking God in our lives, what will end up happening is that we will get the wisdom that we need in order to know what to do when everything else is falling apart. And I've got to be honest with you today. in ministry, in life. There are so many situations where you're walking through a conflict, walking through a challenge, walking through a crisis, and to be honest with you, there are many times you sit back and say, man, in my abilities, I don't have a clue what to do. Man, I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know where to find help. And yet, sitting on so many of our bookshelves at home, God's word is sitting there, and it tells us, if you will look for me, I'll give you everything that you need to know what to do next. It protects us. Our future success in life depends on our present surrender now. It guides us. Look what it goes on to say, verse 9. He who walks with integrity walks securely. I'm gonna tell you something, there's nothing greater than knowing in ministry that if you're a person who's running after righteousness, running after what's right, looking for God, spending time in his word, learning and getting the wisdom that God wants to give to us through his word, there's nothing that is more comforting, there's nothing that's more encouraging, there's nothing that is more inspirational in our walk and our ministry with God of knowing that when we are spending time with God, we can walk safely. We don't have to worry about what's gonna come out tomorrow. There are people in Washington right now, there are people in New York, there are people in Hollywood today, and they're sitting there and they're biting their fingernails and they're scared to death because they're afraid of something that they did a few years ago might just come out in the news. And there are people who are scared to death because they don't know what's gonna come and what's gonna happen. Let me just give you some good news. When you walk with God, when you are serving God, when you're spending time in God's word, when you are walking away from the things of this world and running to the things of God, you will never have to worry about what will come out in the news, ever, because you're doing the right thing. He who walks in integrity walks securely. But listen to this last part of the verse. But he who perverts his ways will become known. That's exactly what we're seeing today. It's what we saw yesterday in the news. It's what we'll probably see today in the news. It's what we'll see tomorrow in the news. Of people who have walked in perverse ways, who have not been walking with character, not been walking in righteousness, and every single day we see them where their careers are thrown out the window because they have become known. As a man, as a woman of God, as a ministry leader, as a future ministry leader, make sure that what you are known as is a man and a woman of God, period, and nothing else. So how do we get it? How do we find it? How do we actually make sure that in our walk with God that we are experiencing that development of character, that development of integrity? Because it doesn't come naturally. We've already talked about it. The Bible tells us our heart's deceitfully wicked. So it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't just happen because you're in seminary. I can promise you this, you can walk through the seminary here, you can be in Scarborough College and get your bachelor's, you can go and get your master's of divinity, you can go all the way through the PhD program, you can defend it, you can be successful, you can get your degree, you can start teaching here. And let me just tell you something, it will not on its own develop your character and turn you into a man or a woman of God. Only you can do that running after God, not running after a degree. So how do we do it? First thing is this, we've got to have an absolute commitment to God's word. An absolute commitment to the inerrancy, the infallibility, the inspiration of Scripture, that God's word is the final authority, the final word, and we're committed to it. If you go back a few pages to Proverbs chapter 1, listen to what it says. In verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Listen to this, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain counsel, wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then listen to this verse 7. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know what that passage says? It says this. Is it you as a man or a woman of God? Recognize this. This person sitting in seminary, sitting in classes, learning God's word, walking through the Greek and the Hebrew and all the things that you're doing here. Listen to this. If you do not spend time digging into God's word apart from your studies, recognize this. You are a fool. Because God's word is given to us to give us wisdom and guidance to help the young figure out what to do and the old figure out what to do. to know where to turn when life becomes troubled, when we're facing a conflict and a crisis, that we will know how to make it through. God's word is given to us as the direction that we need, and that is how we find and build character. It is not found in the classroom. It is found in the pages of God's word. Dig into God's word. Love God's word. As a pastor, just practical advice. So many times, pastors will spend time every week in God's word, preparing sermons, getting ready for Sundays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and whatever else you might be involved in. And they think because they're studying God's word and they're digging into God's word with regards to their sermon preparation, that they are in their own life, they're spending time and learning from God's word. Always make a decision now before you ever get into ministry, maybe one day. Decide this, that what you are studying in God's word to prepare for sermons or whatever it might be in Bible studies or leading, don't make that what you're studying in God's word to help you as an individual. Separate the two. Every week I spend time in God's word preparing sermons, but every day I spend time in God's word in something completely and radically different than what I'm studying for the sermon, because I want it to preach to me. So make sure you're spending time in God's word, recognizing that's where character is found. Second thing, God's presence. And God's presence is found through prayer. Hebrews 4 gives us the permission. It gives us the picture that because of what Christ has done, that we can boldly run before the throne of grace, that we have the opportunity because Christ died on the cross, because he rose again. Man, we can run right into his presence, and we can get on our knees before God and in powerful, incredible, impactful prayer, that we can experience the very presence of God. That's something they couldn't do in the Old Testament without fear for their lives. And here, because of Christ, we can do it right here every single day. You can do it driving down the street, but don't close your eyes when you do. You can do it at home. You can do it in the classroom. You can do it wherever you want to boldly go before the throne of grace. But you know what so many of us do? We've allowed prayer to become routine. We've allowed prayer to become something that we do over meals. My kids, when they were younger, I remember once my youngest son, Nicholas, we were having a meal one night. We were having dinner together at a restaurant, and I asked Nicholas, hey, would you pray for us? And Nicholas said, sure. And so everybody closed their eyes and he began praying. He said, dear God, help us to have a good night's sleep and bless us, help us to great day. He said, oh, stop, I'm sorry, wrong prayer. And we laugh about that, but listen to me. That is what so many of us do, because we have our little pet prayers that we do for certain things in life. We have our meal prayers, we have our nighttime prayers, we have our morning prayers. But you know what we're not doing so often in prayer? The reason we're not experiencing God's presence in our prayers is because when we go to pray, we are so fixated and so focused on the routine of prayer that we have stopped seeking God's presence in prayer. We don't experience the power of prayer today that we know is so real. We don't experience that power because we're not experiencing his presence, and we're not experiencing his presence because we're not looking for it. Seeking the presence of God in our prayer time means you get on your knees before God and you are crying out to a holy God, a God for whom you have no reason, no right whatsoever to be calling on his name or to be sitting in his presence. But yet, because of Christ, we have that opportunity. Man, grab a hold of, reach for, and seek the presence of that God in your life, and it'll change you forever. Have that kind of prayer life, that kind of power in your seeking God. The third thing, after God's word, God's presence, it's God's power. That means total dependence on God. So often we talk about, as preachers, man, we preach about it. It's nothing too difficult for God. With God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens men. We preach it. Our people love to hear it. But you know what we end up doing? Even though we believe in the infinite power of God, so often we get to the place of ministry where we think that we can do it on our own. We talk about leadership and we talk about strategies and we read books by this pastor or that church leader, and we think, man, we could pull this off. And we get our teams together, our staffs together, and we have meetings about how we can do this in ministry and do this in our church. And the one thing that we've forgotten is recognizing that if we are doing all that we can in our churches to grow our churches and we're doing it in our own power, we are leaving out the most important ingredient, and that is this, the unmatched power of God in our church. The matchless power of God. On our church at home, on the back wall every Sunday before I preach and during my sermons, during our worship service, it's been there now for 10 years, there's four words on the back wall of our church, and it just simply says this, not I, but Christ. And I put it up there 10 years ago when I became the senior pastor, because every time I walk out onto that stage, I want to be reminded it's not about me, It's not about talent. It's not about ability. It's not about whether I can speak well or not speak well. It's not about anything that I can pull off. That when I walk out on that stage, I want everything that happens on that stage to be about Christ and total dependence on him, because I know if it's not, we will fall flat on our faces. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us our sufficiency is not of ourselves. We're not able to do anything. Our sufficiency is of Christ. Have total dependence on him. So how do we get character? How do we get integrity? How do we dig into it in our lives? Well, I already said God's word, God's presence, God's power, all three things that God promises to give to us. But the last one today has nothing to do whatsoever with God. Has nothing to do whatsoever with him. Because while we find our character when we dig into God's word, we run into God's presence, we tap into God's power, the last way, and to be honest with you, the most important way, it's our commitment. No one can make you live the life of integrity or live a life of character but you. Your pastor can't make you do it. Your professor can't make you do it. Your spouse can't make you do it. Your mom, your dad, they can't make you do it. No one that will ever live can make you do it. God won't even make you do it. If you're gonna walk a walk of character and integrity, it is 100% up to you. Do not let the stories that we see today of the politicians, the personalities, the Hollywood stars, the preachers, don't let those stories ever be told of you. Determine today, as for me in my life, I will walk with, I will serve, I will run to, I will depend on him and him alone. And if you do that, then you who walk with integrity will walk your entire days securely, and you will never have to ever come to the place that because you've perverted your ways, that you'll be known. Make your life a life of character and integrity, and it'll change everything. Pray with me. Father, today we pray that you would allow each and every one of us in this room to be men and women who understand the importance of doing the right thing. God, it is so easy to fall by the wayside. It is so easy to get off track. It is so easy to make the wrong decisions in life, God. It just becomes where sometimes it almost just happens by accident, God, because of our sinful nature and because of who we are. God, I just pray that you would place in every single one of us a burning desire, a passion, that we want to live our lives tapped into you, that we want to run to you, that we want to depend on you, God, that we want to live our lives in character and integrity, God, that we want to be men and women of righteousness. And so, God, I just pray that not only would you give us the desire, but that you would give us the incredible fortitude, the willpower, that we will do what it takes, that we will fight the good fight, and that we will be men and women who follow after you. And God, for that, we pray that you will bless our churches because of it, that you will bless our relationships because of it, that you will bless our children because of it, and that God, because of it, we will also have the opportunity of reaching this world with the incredible message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only way to get to you. God, I pray, use us, men and women of character, to reach the world with that message. And God, for that, we will give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.